You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning, the Valentine's Day edition. And there's no coincidence that Travis Wood officially signs on Valentine's Day with the Kansas City Royals. You know that. Last night in the NBA, Eric Bledsoe put up 37 points in a loss. And then there's another Hernan Gomez for people out there. He plays in Denver. Juan Hernan Gomez, 27 points, 10 rebounds last night as the Denver Nuggets crushed the Golden State Warriors. This game was never close. Nikolai Jokic in this game had a triple-double in this one as well, as they absolutely lit it up. One of the things that we did not talk about in the opening that I wanted to ask you about, there's a little disagreement among the Raiders on what to do with Latavius Murray. Story came out yesterday that the Raiders were going to let Latavius Murray go, and now the GM of the Raiders says, hey, we want to re-sign our own players. And when you talk about a guy who's 6'3", close to 230 pounds, he's familiar with what we got going on here. Fantasy Zach, how do you think this is going to turn out with Mr. Latavius Murray?
I think they put that out there because if they get him at a discount and he does happen to come back, they want him to feel like he's a part of the family. But I don't think they have no intention of bringing him back. I think they want to look in another. I think they want to look in another direction. I'll probably draft a back. In April, then they're not. Eddie Lacy's going to be in free agency. They're not going to bring Eddie Lacy in there. So if they get him at a discount, I think they'll roll with him. I think we'll see more from DeAndre Washington next season. But if Latavius Murray and his people are asking for too much, they'll gladly let him walk. I don't think it's anything that they've seen that's going to make them say, okay, this is our guy. We have to keep him.
Scott, your thoughts on Murray in the 2017 season donning an Oakland uniform?
I think it's about money. It depends on how much they can get him back for. I don't think they're ideally thrilled with him. They expected to see more speed out of him, but you know he's turned out to be, you know, like a good inside runner, goal line back. But I think the Raiders ideally would like to have somebody who they feel, you know, can be more of a game breaker and even share time with Washington and, you know, be a little bit more dynamic. You know, he's a big back. He's unique in terms of his size, etc. But I feel like he's still developing as an NFL runner, and maybe going somewhere else might be a better fit for him.
Other news yesterday that was very interesting, I thought, was the Cardinals GM, Stephen Kelm, comes out yesterday and says, we've got to identify ourselves a long-term quarterback. Remember, this is the team that was worried about Carson Palmer coming back. He is coming back for one more season, but they got to figure out what they're doing long-term. And he also took some of the blame here. He says, you're not going to be the GM for long if you can't find a quarterback. I have to do a better job with my staff and the coaching staff, and we have to identify the right guy and put this organization in a position to have success for years to come. I think you could say this about many teams, Scott, that they don't have two quarterbacks. Most teams don't have one.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that don't. You know, we go back to that whole Manziel thing that I was saying, but I think it's frustration and a combination of that and looking to the future. Carson Palmer got them as far as the NFC Championship, and I don't know if he can get them any further. I think, you know, this team still, like, you feel like last year they came in and they had a window. Now with Fitzgerald, maybe one more year, and Palmer one more year. The window's closing with David Johnson, et cetera. You know, they do have an eye to the future. So I feel like they're in a transitional period. Like, what do they do to get back to the NFC Championship? At least, I don't know if there's the confidence they can do it, but they have to look towards the future if this organization wants to get back to a Super Bowl at some point. And, you know, Palmer's got, what, maybe 1 year left? Two might be stretching it, so they have to look towards the future.
Fantasy exec, the Cards going the wrong way with Palmer possibly in his last year, Larry Fitzgerald possibly in his last year, a team that's had a pretty good defense that's starting to get older as well. Is this team sliding the wrong direction?
Yeah, the window, like Scott said, the window is closing. They had the opportunity last season, wasn't able to get it done. Obviously, this year they come back, and I think we see Carson Palmer is the real is what he is. He's washed up at this point. I think Romo's option for Arizona. And then they were from the stuff that I'm reading, they're real interested in Deshaun Watson. So they want to see where he's at in the draft. If he falls down or, you know, to their spot, I think that's a guy that they can say, okay, we can groom him for a year. And then we give him the keys to it. Mobile quarterback out of Clemson just won a national championship. So I think they have their eye on Watson.
Then the other news that was surprising me yesterday is this 49ers thing. Like, this franchise never ceases to amaze me. They hired Robert Saleh to be their defensive coordinator. This guy only has 3 years as a position coach in the NFL. Never mind no coordinator experience. Only 3 years as a linebackers coach. I mean, this is fascinating to me, Scott. And the whole wealth of football knowledge out there, like, they should have consulted LeSean McCoy. Maybe they could get some help on having a coach here. Yeah, there's no one better than this guy to be the defensive coordinator. He's never called a play in his life.
Yeah, he's low, he was low on the Seattle coaching tree like a few years ago, and, you know, followed Gus Bradley to Jacksonville, where it didn't work out well. So that's kind of stunning itself. And now they're saying that he's going to try to, you know, implement that Seahawks tight defense in San Francisco. Well, you better be careful about what you ask for, because the problem with trying to, you know, replicate that defense with other teams is you have to have the personnel to do it. And the 49ers don't have the personnel to do it. You can't play people straight up in a 4-3 cover shell, you know, where you know, you're really not making a lot of adjustments when you don't have the personnel to do it. So I think it's another bad decision by the 49ers.
Yeah, it's but you got to take into consideration, who wants to go there? You know, it's kind of a thing. It's like, who wants to go there?
Yeah.
You put that on your resume, and it was like, oh, well, you were in charge of the 32nd ranked defense. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, well, I didn't have no players. And they're like, well, you should have worked what you had.
Yeah.
So it makes it tough right there, because you take that job, you flame out in a year or two, they change the coaching staff altogether, whatever the case may be, or they revamp the defensive side of the ball. Then you go back into the job market with this blemish on your resume. So it's a hard job to take. So you gotta get like a position coach. You know, I would have took it. That goes to show.
Yeah,
you feel what I'm saying?
They should have probably taken you for it.
I would have to be
here.
What
kind of position?
Yeah.
What kind of position do you excel in?
Prone.
I'm not gonna get into that.
I just want to make sure.
How you doing, buddy?
Missing anything there?
The
Patriots say they won't get in a bidding war for Martellus Bennett. I don't think they generally get in a bidding war for anyone.
No.
So Bennett is going to have to decide whether
they
want to.
They can have Larry Donnell if they want him.
Let me ask you this about Martellus. Go ahead, Tone.
So they're going to decide if they want to win a championship or if he wants to get paid. You have a short career in the NFL. I would suggest you get paid.
He's already got the championship now.
He's been on Dallas, the Giants, the Bears,
the Patriots.
This guy's a good player. How many teams is he gonna play for? Just look at tight ends as a piece that they can just change in and out every year?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah,
he's a good player. His teammates seem to like him. You know what I mean? I don't know.
They loved him, and he loved playing for them. But yeah. I think he's a little bit of, like, first time things go wrong, he's gonna talk about it.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he's gonna do that.
Him and everybody's good his career,
Everybody's good when you're 14-2.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, no, that's true too. I don't know. I just feel like
Except Brandon Cooks.
Oh yeah, that was crazy that Sunday. I think he would be able to find a permanent home, meaning that he hasn't found. I mean, Dallas, obviously, Witten was there. He was a good fit in New York. I thought that it was going to work out in Chicago.
I thought it was going to work out with the Giants.
Yeah, I thought it was going. If he's gone from New England, and it's like, what's next? I mean, Martellus Bennett can play. I would say he's a top 10 NFL tight end.
He's never been consistent.
Has people ever been consistent giving him the football?
I mean, he's been in weird situations because he was with Jay Cutler, right?
So yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
In New England, he was the second tight end on the team. Uh-huh. That's never going to happen anywhere else besides New England.
He'll find somewhere.
And he will.
He's not
going to
be unemployed. Yeah, no doubt.
Yesterday, the New York Giants made a couple cuts. They cut Victor Cruz and Rashad Jennings to actually clear space to try to re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm surprised that Jason Pierre-Paul is a guy that people are going to be sought after this free agency. So he's rebounded well, fantasy executive.
Yeah, well, he's going to get taken care of, obviously, a big piece of what they're trying to do. As far as the offensive players go, I think Cruz is done.
Yeah, one scout told that to ESPN on condition of anonymity.
Cruz is done. Knicks is done. You know what I mean? Knicks has been done, but yeah. I kind of feel like this was supposed to be the receiving core for the New York Giants for years to come. Obviously,
Beckham and Shepard.
Obviously, the terrible injury played a role in Cruz's, you know, demise or whatever. But it was good
He'll
to see the situation.
Ball is regularly now.
No, but it was cool to see, you know what I'm saying? Undrafted free agent. You know, what he went to UMass, undrafted free agent. Yeah. A kid right here from Paterson, New Jersey. Yeah. He comes on the scene.
That the exhibition season can be relevant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He gets the spot on the practice squad. Then the next year he explodes. Was a part of those big giant runs, so definitely a fan favorite here in New York City. You know what I mean? A guy that Giants fans are going to love. But I know that was tough to depart, to get that news yesterday. And as far as Rashad Jennings goes, I mean, he's a backup to a backup, a piece someplace. You know, he's like a guy in San Fran, you know, the backup Carlos Hyde. Somebody like that, you know, nothing to see here. A body. 52, 53. All right, let's go.
Yesterday in Major League Baseball, Marlins manager Don Mattingly said that Justin Bour will be the club's everyday first baseman this season. I like him a lot. Like, if you're playing in deeper drafts, like when we do these NFBC slow drafts, he's a guy that last year hit 223. In his career versus left-handed pitching. I think that he's going to have an opportunity to play a little there. Remember, left-handed pitching only pitches, you know, two times in a week, generally, so at most. So you're going to have that opportunity. He hits righties well, and I think he's going to hit some home runs for you this year. He got off to a slow start last year, and I think he's going to be very underrated. And Justin Bour is a guy that you can get in the rounds 20 somewhere there. Scott, this guy I like this year.
I actually spoke to Justin Bour about that last season. He said, look, you know, I'm aware of, you know, that I got to get better against lefties, but how am I going to get better against him, you know, if I don't get the playing time? So, you know, that's something that he wanted, that Mattingly's going to give to him. He had 30 at-bats against lefties last year. He didn't homer in a single at-bat against lefties, and he struck out 12 times. But, look, you know, I think maybe they'll give him a long look in spring training against the lefties. The guy's got a lot of natural power. I think people are still skeptical about him. I know one major league veteran compared him to Brian LaHare last year. I don't think people are sold on him, but he's got an opportunity and he's got a lot of natural power. If they give him the at bats, I worry about how much he could be a drain on your total batting average. He had 264 last year. I could see him more like under 250 being full time.
There you have it. Justin Bour, fantasy exec. Are you a Marlin man?
Nah, he's basically...
He's from D.C.
Justin Bour? Born and raised?
He went to George Mason.
Okay, that's where he went to college at?
Yeah.
My homeboy Grant Paulson is George Mason guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you can target for some cheap power at a corner or a utility, corner infielder or a utility spot. He's not going to do nothing. He's more of an asset to your batting average than he is a hindrance. So, yeah, cheap power. Justin Bour is a player that I can get on. But, you know, you have to watch when he's in the lineup and stuff because of the splits.
You got to have splits. You got to have everything you need on Valentine's Day.
Ooh, a split.
You might need a little. some jelly and
that'll freak me out.
Cream. Which part, the split of the
if I was with a young lady and she was like, hey, I can do a split, like, and she was to do like a split right there in person, I would be like, wow, it's intriguing.
Scott, would that worry you?
No.
Scott, who do you think is a better dancer, you or Mark Bloom?
Ooh, that's a close one right there.
Dancing on the dance floor or dancing around answers? What was that you do, Corey?
It's the it's the Roto Experts in the morning. When we come back, we'll get to more fantasy topics, some Valentine's Day topics. Don't go anywhere. These two knuckleheads might even yell at each other. It's the Roto Experts in the morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel. Of course, the fantasy executive, Valentine's Day. What could be better than this right here in 2017? How do you think the President of the United States is celebrating Valentine's Day, fantasy exec?
He's probably got a little bit of stuff going on today. He had some fires he got to put out today, so I don't know. Probably him and I don't know. Because Melania live up here, right? Like, she still live in Trump Tower, so I guess he's just probably chilling by himself. I just got a text message. Jaden's mother, Jaden, my 16-year-old son, will be 16-year-old son.
Yeah.
He's going to school. He's on his way to school.
Right.
And he got in the car today with an extra bag. And the bag is like a pink gift bag. So my son is taking somebody for Valentine's Day. Look at that.
Okay.
Oh my God!
I wonder if he got a lingerie.
I would hope not, Tony.
Candy, flowers.
A card.
Card.
Sometimes I do crazy things, right?
Sometimes.
And and so they had whether you had to bring your kids Christmas, a Christmas gift for the teacher and stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is like a little hot, like 24-year-old lady.
Yeah.
And I bring her some like I bring my I gave my kids some like Skippy outfit to give her. I wanted to make sure I would never get invited for a parent-teacher conference.
I'm sure that's a pretty good way. Hey,
parent-teacher conference with Tony might go the other way around. They might have to talk to the kids and say, listen, you got a real problem with your parent here.
Yeah, it's all the same. I remember when I was growing up, I used to think teachers were above reproach, you know what
Me
I'm saying?
Too, yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, you're nasty, ain't you?
Yeah. What is that Rodney Dangerfield once said? I like teachers. They make you do everything twice. If you don't get it wrong, you do it over.
That's a lot of good stuff right there. Yeah, Scotty,
yeah, teachers.
Right?
Shout out to teachers. Happy Valentine's Day to all the teachers out there today.
Yeah.
The teachers are absolutely getting it done.
We've got a lot of teachers like break into the fantasy industry.
And Jeff Ratcliffe's a professor, right?
Yeah. Tim McCullough.
Oh, he's a guy too?
Yeah. Doug Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of them.
That's I can see Mike Clay being a teacher.
<It's>
so wrong.
I can see Sussman teaching
Mark Broom.
Yeah.
Dr. Rodo's a teacher. Yeah.
He's like a professional tutor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see Sussman teaching current events.
Yeah. What about you, Scott?
What?
What would you teach?
What would I teach? I don't know if I want to be a teacher. I don't think I'd have the patience for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is Valentine's Day, and thank God I still like adult relations.
Yep.
More than Corey, here's your first choice: DFS hockey, your wife's sister, peanut butter, or the Hornets versus Kings. Which way would you go? It is Valentine's Day, and thank God I still like adult relations more than DFS hockey, your wife's sister, peanut butter, or Hornets versus the Kings.
I like adult relations more than I like all of these things right here. So I have to, which one is
most?
It's like which one you get worried about, you know, if you start liking it more than the adult relations.
My wife's sister. Sorry. Yeah. I'm single. So I can say that. I can look.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation like that, though.
What?
Like, you know, anyone I was dating had, like, a hot sister, anything like that.
Not ended up on Jerry Springer.
No, yeah. Mm-mm.
How about yourself, Scott?
Yeah, I think if I started playing DFS hockey, I'd have to go see a therapist.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I like DFS. I even tried MMA one time, but to go to hockey, no, I can't see myself doing that.
How'd MMA go for you?
What?
How'd MMA go for you? Because you don't watch that.
He only did it once. How do you think it went?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. I like read Tony's advice. Didn't go well.
You could have read it. I only wrote one thing. It's in a book that hasn't come out yet.
No, I'm saying a few years ago.
No, probably
like 2 years
Scott.
Ago. Maybe I listened to your advice or something like that. But
yeah, Scott.
I tried it one time. I never tried If I tried DFS esports or hockey, there's going to be a problem. Did you hear that they're starting an esports NBA 2K league?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now, Scott, in this poll, wife's sister was number one. Hornets versus the Kings was number two. DFS hockey was three. Peanut butter was four. So does that mean that people like peanut butter and that, you know what, maybe peanut butter is a choice?
I think I got the picture from it that, yeah, that they like peanut butter. Like who doesn't like a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Oh,
or
those
a Snickers
good.
Bar, right?
Those are good.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody ate peanut butter and jelly growing up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Except for maybe Greg.
Oh, yeah, it's Greg. Yeah, they got plenty of money.
You know, sometimes, yeah. You know, budget's tight. You eat peanut butter and jelly.
You know, Greg, you know? They had plenty of money. So, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have to eat stuff like that.
Yeah.
Greg has probably never had a peanut butter and jelly.
They would tell
the
cook, you know, like, don't ever make a peanut butter.
He's probably never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich,
no,
Greg.
No.
I can see that.
I can see it, too.
Yeah.
Next
probably
up,
never eaten white bread.
Oh, why is that?
What? Just, you know, I can't see
that?
Greg making us like a, you know, like taking out two slices of Wonder Bread and making himself a sandwich.
I see him having someone cut off the crust.
Can you handle that, please, Stella?
You guys play fantasy baseball on Valentine's Day and you fall in love with outfielders. Today, I would select the following outfielder first. Jackie Bradley of the Boston Red Sox, Carlos Gomez of the Texas Rangers, Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins, or Adam Duvall of the Cincinnati Reds. The King, Scott Engel, which one are you going with first?
It would depend on what I need. And like, I don't know, Buxton's got like the best skill set, but he just hasn't done it yet. You know, Carlos Gomez has been up and down. He's been kind of a disappointment. But he can present something of a value. I don't feel like Cincinnati's got a lot going on. I know Power's like available across the majors. So Duvall is a guy that I just worry he's going to like drain my batting average in like on base percentage league. Like he's absolutely going to kill me. And Power is there, like pretty much across the majors. Jackie Bradley's like a very interesting story. It's that's the kind of guy that we heard about forever. We didn't know if he was ever going to develop to what we thought he was going to develop into, but I think the potential was always there. And then last year he had .267 with 26 homers. I don't know how much of the power I can actually count on. He whiffs a ton. I feel like with the skill set I want to say Buxton. And then, you know, if I look at Bradley versus Duvall, I feel like Duvall will give me more pop. But, you know what, I'm gonna take Buxton because there's still a lot of talent there. And, you know, it just may take more time to bloom. The other guys don't excite me, so I'm going to go with Buxton for the upside.
And you know what, I'm going to take the discount on a guy that could be 2020 Gomez. I'm going to take a discount on a guy that could be 2020 and Gomez. I know the past couple seasons have not been like the 2013 and 2014 season, but I do think that dealing with some nagging injuries was a big part of that, and I think that he likes the situation that he's in right now with Texas. He's going to get a chance to be the everyday center fielder, so this is a guy where 2020 is not out the realm of possibility, so I'm going to go with Gomez.
You know what's interesting is that Jackie Bradley won this poll. And I probably have him third that I would go for. And a lot of people would see him as the safest pick coming off the year he had last year. But Bradley was brought to the Boston Red Sox and given an opportunity based on being a fine defensive player. and I didn't expect him to hit that well. I'm really concerned about him. And I like Gomez for the upside, too. I think he get 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. We talk about the lack of stolen bases each and every time. I would take a shot there. Now, Buxton's interesting because he had a great second half of the season. But when I look at the numbers and I look at them closely, like the home run to fly ball ratio was crazy in the second half. And a lot of the stuff that I see in his numbers, I think, are not repeatable. So I would go with Gomez. Buxton's still a young player there. I think he has the most upside of the group. I would actually go with Gomez as well in this one. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the Fantasy Executive and the King, Scott Engel. We're breaking down Valentine's Day. So you guys make sure, you know, you get your fantasy baseball, you get a little fantasy football. We make sure you get a couple laughs. We've got everything covered today, Scotty Engel.
Yeah, the one thing I don't want repeatable with Buxton is the strikeout rate. 35.6 with the Twins last year. It's like, you know, even Chris Carter was like watching the Twins game going, damn, that guy strikes out a lot. You know.
When we come back from break, we're going to talk about one of Scott's friends and see how well he did in the poll here. And if he'd be a guy that Scott would pick in his fantasy baseball Valentine's Day edition. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. My name is Tony Cicada, and we're bringing you up to 10 a.m. Eastern, where you get old school fantasy. Now, Mr. Parson, how do you feel being lumped in with a old school fantasy? I mean, does it sound like you've aged quite a bit here?
Yeah, well, a little bit, but, you know, take the more mature route in this situation. But definitely having some fun with the guys, you know. We know Scott is a lunatic, you know what I'm saying? And George Kurtz, is, you know, he's great analysis, great advice and stuff like that. But my God, is that the most miserable man on the face of the earth?
What do you want? He has to answer all the answer queue stuff.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think it's pushed him over the edge.
We got to get him in the studio, take him out for a drink, maybe loosen him up a little bit because he is upset about everything, so... But now today we'll be going over the labor draft was last night. So today we'll look at some of the things that took place in that labor draft. Speaking of this labor draft, fellas, you know I'm really hot, pretty hot and heavy back into baseball this year. So I'm just going through different things and stuff like that, trying to get my ground together, you know, my stuff together, so I can really hit the ground running come March and really be ready to roll for when, you know, the lights come on. Can somebody explain this to me, though? I'm looking at this draft board from last night, and I asked my friends. Matt Harvey went in the 12th round, right? Vincent Velasquez went in the 15th round. I kind of feel like that should be reversed. Am I wrong in thinking that?
That's a great question, because Velasquez, to me, is a strikeout per inning guy. Could be the fifth starter. Could give 150, 180 innings. I think a lot of people are hung up on the Matt Harvey that we saw a couple of years ago, so they figure he could always break out to that, and that's why people are there. But I like Velasquez because I think he's a little safer commodity. What's your thoughts, King? You see Matt Harvey all the time.
You know, with Harvey, he's saying his spring training and he feels good, but thoracic outlet syndrome has been very, very dicey. I think Gene McCaffrey actually researched it and found only three starters. Out of 16 who had it, don't quote me on the number, but it was a very large number, have successfully recovered from this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Harvey's had injury problems. He's been on a downhill arc since, basically since 2014. Velasquez has upside. He might be past an innings limit this year. I think Harvey's is a big risk this year. You know, once again, you know, we've already seen Tommy John. Now we've seen the thoracic outlet syndrome. At least I know Velasquez is healthy and he's got significant upside and he's got really nasty stuff. I'd be more in on Velasquez.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If I was wrong in thinking that, because it jumped out at me as I was going through the board and I was like, that don't seem right. But okay.
Who drafted Matt Harvey?
Matt Harvey was drafted by Pot Hoser from Fangraphs.
Oh, he's a New York
boy.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he has. His pitching staff is Arrieta, McCullers, Harvey, Aaron Nola, Pineda, and Adam Ottavino, and Fernando Rodney, Taiwan Walker, and some other guys like that also. And then Vinny Velasquez went to, who is this? Ray Murphy from Baseball HQ.
What do you think Mike Podhaizer's Valentine's Day is like?
I'm not sure if he's what his relationship status is, but he's at this time of year he's probably like, you know, stats and numbers and batted ball data and stuff like that. Then his honey,
this is his big time of year.
Then his honey comes home, you know what I'm saying? And he might be like, "Hey, honey, let's go down to let's go down to the Red Lobster." And they go out to the Red Lobster.
Yeah, I think we all try to make time, you know, for our personal life, even if it's a busy time of year.
They go down to the Red Lobster, and you know, they get the special at the Red Lobster. You know, like with, you know, the whatever special they got going on at the Red Lobster. Then they come back to the.
I don't think Pothole is he's a Red Lobster kind of guy.
Then they come back to to their home, and he gives his wife a kiss on the forehead, and he tucks her in. And he wishes her a happy Valentine's Day. Then he goes back to batted ball data.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you think he goes over her zone rating?
Maybe when she wakes up in the morning.
I feel bad for the fantasy analysts who spend time, you know, in their own pull percentage.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their own what?
pull percentage.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Scott, you have a high pull percentage, don't you?
What? Yeah. It's my right hand is, like, very muscular.
Yeah. You went too far just now, you see.
Scott, you play fantasy baseball on Valentine's Day. You fall in love with outfielders. Today you would select this outfielder first, Domingo Santana. The Milwaukee Brewers, your friend Brett Gardner of the New York Yankees, David Peralta, or Matt Holliday?
I feel like Holliday's past his prime. He's definitely not going to be the guy. I don't think it's going to be Gardner either. Domingo Santana is an interesting case. When you look back at last year, just 281 plate appearances, hit 256 with 11 homers. He could be 250 with 20 home runs. Who is the other guy?
Santana, Brett Gardner, David Peralta, and Matt Holliday.
David Peralta. It's like David Peralta. Like none of these really like appeal to me. Like, but I feel like Peralta could really bounce back to, you know, to being a more prominent kind of player. I know, you know, we talk about Jason Hayward and how the goalposts have moved. I feel like the goalposts have really moved for David Peralta. So I'd be willing to take a chance that he bounces back to respectability.
I'm gonna take the upside in the youth of Domingo. Listen, you know, it's a ton of low batting average, 20 home run guys in the majors right now. But take the 24-year-old player with a chance at the right field job every day as long as he stays healthy. So Santana is he's an upside. He has his asset is his upside right now. So dollar make you holler for Domingo Santana is the way I would go out of this. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was a guy that I was just disappointed with come the end of the season. It's not a good this group right here is like
underwhelming. Yeah, it's like for me I go Peralta because I feel like he can still hit 275, probably give me about the same home runs as Matt Santana, and he might give me some more speed.
David Peralta, 2015, had 17 home runs, 9 stolen bases, and a .312 batting average for David Peralta. So can he get back to those numbers or get somewhere close? I think fantasy owners would be extremely happy. Domingo Santana is a guy that I think had a lot of expectations that many people thought didn't come through. Last year he had 11 home runs in just 281 at-bats. He hit .256. He's a guy that could be the next 20 home run hitting guy out of this group. And of course, a lot of people souring on Brett Gardner and Matt Holliday.
Yeah, it's Gardner's at this point. He's 33 years old. We talked about him and Ellsbury, how they're both like, you know, not a lot of power right now. Ellsbury might give you some more speed. Gardner's not running like he did earlier in his career. Holliday, you know, if he stays healthy, you know, and Aaron Judge doesn't work out, he could play a lot of right field. He could be 20 homer power, but he's not really going to help your batting average.
No, 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 and not going to help at all. And you're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, the breakfast edition of the Roto Experts. Fantasy executive, were you ever one to make your woman breakfast in bed?
I think I tried that one time. It went over. It went over pretty solid. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's not really one of my go-tos. You know what I mean? It's not my specialty. No. It's not my go-to when I want to do the pampering thing. It's not all breakfast in bed. It's not my go-to. I have another go-to for pampering purposes.
Oh, you want to care to share that with the listening audience?
I'll do the, you know what I'm saying, the bubble bath. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah, mm-hmm. You know, you wash her down.
Yeah. That's like coming to America.
Yes, uh-huh. Very good, very good. It's the same. Yeah, trying to get that same outcome.
Scott Engel, have you ever made a woman breakfast in bed?
No.
Really?
I don't cook.
You're not a big breakfast guy.
I don't cook. I'm not like Greg.
What is your go to pampering move? Oh, are you a me guy? You just like to be pampered yourself.
Yeah, I'm a me guy. Yeah, I'm selfish like that. Yeah.
You see, you gotta do a better job than that, Scotty.
I don't know. It's worked for many years.
Mm. Yeah, that's what the thing, Sterling
though.
Said.
That's the thing though. It's like women want to take care of you.
You don't think they want the favor reversed sometimes, Scotty?
Yeah,
huh?
But you know, there's nothing specific. I don't have a go-to. I don't want to be boring.
Well, what is your pampering move? What do you do that's nice for your wife?
I don't have a specific thing.
Well, you've been married for 23 years.
There's not a go-to.
In 23 years, what have you done nice for your wife?
In 24 years.
Yesterday it was 23. Today is 24. You don't even know how damn long you've been married. It's Valentine's Day. You don't pamper with a woman. What the hell is going on, Scott?
Who are you to question me? I've been going strong for 24
the
years.
MF and fantasy executive.
You can't go strong for 24 seconds.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah.
I don't have a go-to. No. I always try to change it up. I don't have a go-to.
Oh, yeah. That's how they like that. They like that.
You haven't gave me an example at all yet, though, Scott.
Yeah, massage? Something like that. Okay. You know?
All right.
You're very good with your hands, Scott.
Yeah, do you want me to give you an example, Corey?
No, don't touch me.
Somebody's got to.
See, what happens sometimes, though, when you change it up, is a lot of times then women, she'll want to know where you learned that move.
Then
she starts thinking that, you know, you might be practicing on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful when you change it up.
No, it's amateurish. But you try.
What do you mean?
You know.
Some home games and away games. You can't have that when it comes to the game of love, Scott.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, when I try it out, it's like, you know, it's I don't come any sort of professional approach that's going to be questioned, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure Scott's not getting in trouble here because we got the king of fantasy with us today. And, of course, the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Baseball Package comes out tomorrow, Scotty, right? Tomorrow's the big day?
Yeah, tomorrow's the big day. Tim McCullough's hard at work today getting all everything finalized.
What's up, my man Doug Anderson?
Doug is making some contributions to the package.
Okay, cool. Because I like Doug Anderson.
Yeah.
What makes you like him?
I like the way I like his knowledge. I like the way he speaks on the radio. The fan, the listener base really responds to Doug Anderson, and he's a stand up guy. I think Doug Anderson does a good job. I always have appreciated Doug Anderson's work.
You appreciate them a lot more than the Evan Terraciano that used to be part of the Roto.
Yeah, Evan Terraciano was tough. It can be tough to deal with at times. But Evan worked for a while. The Roto Waiter and that stuff. You know what I mean? That was an era. But we wish Mr. Terraciano nothing but luck. Him and his beautiful young family. You know, Evan is. I read on Facebook that Evan's his wife is his high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
So you know what that means, right?
What? I'm waiting for you to tell me. You can be very serious.
Evan Tarasciano is he's never tasted anything, you know. He's solo, you know what I mean? He's only known one piece of ice cream. He's only had one flavor of ice cream in his whole career.
Not like you constantly chasing the ice cream truck.
Guess what? I finished too, Scott.
Yeah, you're right.
I finished too.
Yeah, okay.
I've had multiple flavors of ice cream.
You finish at home by yourself.
I've had multiple flavors of ice cream,
right,
Scott.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Multiple flavors.
Yeah.
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 He's a Napoleon guy.
You finish by yourself at home at night.
I've had multiple flavors of ice cream.
You go a little too far, Scott. Nobody ever says anything to you. You're lucky.
Wow. I'm in trouble now. Like, you're telling me I'm going too far.
Yeah, because the rest of us, like, sugarcoat our stuff. You just throw it out there. You're going to go home and pull it tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to go home and pull it. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that.
Yeah. You come straight out, too, though. You know, it's like,
no.
So, what do you think of Evan Tarasciano? Let me set you up for that one.
Well, you know what? I was getting to this point. Evan is a nice guy, and yet he used to aggravate everybody. Like, I got an email one day. Evan was on. He had this nice Christmas sweater, and he had his little doggy in the Christmas sweater, and they took a little picture together. And someone emails me this picture. He says, I want to kick this guy in the face. And I'm like, what? Why would you want to kick a guy in the face? Because he's got a Christmas sweater and he's got a little doggy.
Because
people don't believe it's real. Because we have a cynical society.
Is that what it is?
Because if I took a picture with a Christmas sweater on, holding a puppy, smiling in the
camera,
nobody
would believe it.
Yeah, they're going to be like, the fantasy executive
is full
of
it.
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying?
But Evan's different person than you, though.
Let me tell you something. Everybody got dirt under their nails. Everybody got some skeletons in their closet.
I'm saying, you
so
know,
when you
everybody,
when you live it like you're
but
this
everybody does,
serene
but,
individual. When the dirt come out the closet, you're going to get hammered. Bottom line.
I don't think you're going to catch Evan Tarasciano in Vegas, you know, with a bunch of hookers, you know.
You never know.
Those are the guys. Evan guys. I think, they be like, I've only done it once my entire life with one woman. Nice tonight.
Don't you ever watch that Hangover movie?
You ever watch Hangover?
People give Jake the same crap, though. It's like... Can't you believe maybe somebody's religious or they want to live a certain
way? But they gamble all night? You know what I'm saying?
You're right that everybody's got a vice, but I think, you know, if people want to live life a certain way, you know, you don't have to pay them for it.
Why would... No, I don't. They didn't want to hate him. They just wanted to kick him.
That same sort of, I guess, you know, kind of approach. You know, they get aggravated by it.
I thought it was so crazy.
I worked with Evan directly. He, like, reported to me. He never really aggravated me.
No. That's because you had him reporting to you.
No, but, like, you know, if somebody wants to... Some people are all about family. You know, it's like, you look at things from your own...
That's a good thing, right?
See, that's the thing. We all look from things from our own perspective. You got to step outside of yourself and realize that other people live their lives different ways than we do.
That's right.
No, and that's cool. I got a problem with that, but I'm just saying, if you found out to be phony, I'm gonna call you on it.
But I don't think anybody's ever found that out about something like somebody like that.
He's still
young. I don't think we can assume because people try to live life in a positive manner that there's going to be some landmine somewhere.
People keep trying to find out Tim Tebow. They keep crushing this poor guy.
They do, but you know, some people are religious, and they look. I know you. Some people live life a certain way. You know, some people are very religious, you know, and they commit their life to, like, living life a certain way. We just don't do.
No, we're the Roto Experts in the Morning. We have an our Valentine's Day edition of the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day pictures. And does Scotty prefer a Valentine's Day with a little Spanish descent? Or is he looking like a little French descent? We'll get right back to that and more. Stay tuned for more for the Valentine's Day edition of the Roto Experts. Yeah. You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with the King, Scott Engel. And, of course, my guy, the fantasy executive. You know what? You know what's crazy? I'm going to admit this, and I probably shouldn't. Like, when I come back from break, I try to be quiet because I know that people are not used to that, and I think they would enjoy it. Is that a good way to go about it, Scott?
I didn't hear what you said. I just sat back down.
He said that when he comes back from break, he takes it light on people's ears. He's quiet.
Right.
Because they're not used to that.
Well, what is that about?
You know what it's about.
Anyhow, you know, I was walking to the studio, and I was thinking of myself. You know about the Grammys the other night. Like, just, well, what's all this hubbub about Adele, you know, winning record of the year?
Adele. He's a big Adele guy. It's the Valentine's Day edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. I play fantasy baseball on Valentine's Day. I fall in love with pitches. Today I would select this pitcher first. New Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Rich Hill. The phenom in the making, Alex Reyes. Cleveland Indians Danny Salazar or Detroit Tigers Michael Fulmer. Scotty, where are you going first here?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I feel like there's some aggression coming from Fulmer. They're saying Reyes might be the most talented pitcher on that staff, and then you got Salazar, and who was the other one?
Rich Hill.
Yeah, I'd probably go Rich Hill. I'd feel safest going with Rich Hill. You know, this guy like went to the independent leagues and totally remade himself. It's like terrific story. You know, I remember when he was more mediocre, and you know, he pitched for the Cubs, and then you look what he did, you know, last year with two teams, a 2.12 ERA, but you know, the FIP was just 2.39, 10.52 K per nine. Like, where does this come from? Like, you know, how did he exactly remake himself? You know, this is a guy that I think that can give you a pretty low ERA. You know, the strikeout rate's going to be really high. It's very interesting to see how he remade himself when you consider the age. You know, he's going to turn 37 years old this season. But, look, I don't know how he's getting it done, but he's getting it done. I'm going Rich Hill.
The fantasy exec, which one do you like?
I think I'm gonna go with the front runner. I think I'm gonna go with Salazar here on the upside and the strikeout talent. I understand last season was difficult with the elbow and the forearm issues, but they're taking a cautious approach with him, and you know, we'll see the innings start to ramp up a little bit in spring training. So he could be a pretty decent strikeout pitcher. Probably give you an ERA a little bit over probably in that 3.5-3.6 range, wherever you want to go. So I'm going to go Danny Salazar in this one. I think Fulmer is probably maybe the safest guy, but a lot of these guys have injury warts and stuff like that. So I'm going to go with Danny Salazar just on that.
I'm going to be like the fantasy executive and maybe a sucker here and go with the guy with the most talent and hope it plays out. 10.55 K per nine last year. He does get touched up because his ERA for a guy with such skills. He's got an ERA right around 3.5 as his best each year. And I'm a little concerned because he only pitched 137 innings, how many innings they let him go. But there's just so much talent in this kid. I've got to go with him. Even though I think it's a good group. Like Rich Hill, like you said, he's 37 years old. But when he pitches, kind of like Steven Strasburg, he's always pitching well in the last couple of years. Michael Fulmer, he was a guy that I thought had some expectations in the minors, but not quite to where he pitched last season. And Reyes, the whole thing is he going to have the control to stay in the major leagues and when they allow him to get here? So I think it's Salazar, but all four of these guys are good choices, Scott.
Yeah, it's interesting. Reyes I think he went pretty early in last night's labor draft. I'm trying to see where he went again. I know he went like some of the earlier rounds, like Fulmer last night, Fulmer last year, just like, you know, you heard that maybe he didn't have that third pitch last year, but, you know, he was much more effective than we thought. I think there's going to be some regression coming this year over a full season.
Coming up next, the final hour of the Roto Experts in the Morning, so you don't want to go anywhere. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts.